Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Amanda Dennis. Natalia, can you hear me okay?
I hear you, Amanda. Hi,
awesome.
Everyone.
All right, so we have a very exciting call today. Not only do we have lovely Miss Natalia Rose on the phone, but we also have Joyce Rockwood from Love Your Transformation, which is one of the best gravity method colon hydrotherapists. I want to say studios, but that's not the right word. Natalia, help me. I can't find the word.
Clinic.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. In New York City. And it was my favorite when I visit Joyce and all the wonderful people over there at LYT. So we have Joyce on the phone to answer some specific colonic questions. And so if you do have questions about colonics, Joyce will be on to answer those live, and then we've also taken some from the community. So welcome, everybody, and thank you so much for being on the call. Natalia, before you begin, I just wanted to remind everyone about the June Advanced Detoxification Training that's coming up. We are full for in-person for the live event if you wanted to come to New York City, although we are taking people on the wait list. But we do have virtual space still available. So for those of you who would like to sign up for the June Advanced Detoxification Training, please do so soon. It's coming up in about 3 weeks. And then also we do still have space left for our Culinary Institute training, which is the same week. I believe it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th with Doris. So both events are open, and we're still taking registrations for those. I think that's all for now. Natalia, if you'd like to go ahead and get started, that would be great.
Okay, great. And I'm going to just speak for a little while, and then we can open the lines up, and then I'd love to turn everything over to you and Joyce, because I am so excited that Joyce is on the call today. People have been asking so many colon hydrotherapy questions, and I thought, let me just put the best person for the job on the phone. And I've known Joyce now for probably over 10 years, because she was one of the first colon hydrotherapist to ever treat me, and goes to show that I stuck with it. So she must have done something right. But more importantly than just treating me, she gave me such an inspiration. She was such a she really has this beautiful energy and this way of representing the lifestyle that that just gets people fired up about it. And I think that's one of the reasons that Light is so successful. And Cindy, her partner, is amazing as well. So anyway, it's a real treat, and I hope you all take full advantage. Call in with your questions. We do have questions lined up that are pretty universal questions, but take advantage of having Joyce on the line today. And I also want to be brief for that reason. That aside, we're going to also just focus. This is going to be the colonic call. This is going to hopefully cover everything, and everyone can just reference this when they have any questions, including questions about the home water filtration system, and we'll talk a little bit about that in this call. Before we do, I want to get to a couple of questions. One, we'll start with I'll just jump on in. Someone wrote in and said, for some reason this last year my health hasn't been the best. After I finished nursing my daughter, I started to experience nausea, stomach discomfort, fatigue, and weight gain. Recently, I've started to experience muscle fatigue, aching and itching without rash, bumps, or redness. I went to a family practice physician to run some blood tests. I would like to diagnose the problem and from there use my own methods to heal. Has anyone experienced anything like this? What did you do? The hypothesized front runner is a thyroid condition. I would prefer not to go on hormones. I'm 20 pounds heavier than I'm used to being, and I would love to have more energy. I have a precious little girl to take care of. Any thoughts or advice would be greatly appreciated. Okay, so what jumps out at me with this one is that old expression, don't let the tail wag the dog. And while I don't know from this particular question everything else that's going on behind the scenes in her life and what she's taking in and what her colon cleansing is and all of that, I can assume that she's, but whenever we try to enter, whenever we try to solve a problem that we think we're having by addressing it from one place, meaning from the thyroid, for example, or from some sort of imbalance, we know we can immediately catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, I'm doing that thing that everybody else in the world does, which is why everybody else is going down the wrong path, which is to try to identify a piece of the system as opposed to the whole system. So if my thyroid isn't working well, well, that's not my problem. My problem is, why isn't my thyroid working well? So even if she comes in, she winds up with an imbalanced thyroid reading, it's not really going to tell her what she needs to know. So this idea of turning toward the medication, if indeed that's the case, you know, as if she, you know, she obviously doesn't want to take the medication, but that's not the point. The point is that that still wouldn't be the answer, even for a mainstreamer. So it's really important that we not let the tail wag the dog. What is actually the problem here? Just once, bear with me 1 second, guys. Sorry, I've just got some feline visitors that need to leave. Okay, so there we are, back to us. All right, so that's the most important thing. We have to always go back to that, and it's the easiest trap to get into. And whether it's, you know, we've talked so many times about being in a health food store and thinking, well, you need to take the supplement to fix what's going on. This is the same thing. She says the hypothesized front runner is a thyroid condition. That's not my front runner. My front runner is what's in the cells and tissue that needs to come out. If she's 20 pounds heavier than she's used to being, then I can tell you that there's waste matter in the cells and tissues that are the problem. That's the front runner, as far as I'm concerned. It's not the fact that she's heavier, might not look as good in her jeans. Maybe she looks better. But the issue is that there's 20 pounds more of waste that's accumulated in her body. So that's where we go with that. And from there, I think she'll know what to do. Okay, next question. We have been doing the rose cleanse. This is kind of a long one, so bear with me. We've been doing the rose cleanse this month, juice until a properly combined meal since April 1st. We've been juicing and paying attention to food combining for a while now, but not this restrictively. No coffee, no alcohol. We're getting 2 colonics per week, Tuesdays and Fridays. Gravity colonics administered by Mary Pence, who's recommended in Detox for Women and is wonderful. Yes, she is. We have also been doing weekly coffee enemas, green coffee to cleanse the liver on top of the colonics. These are also administered by Marie during a session. We've been in the sauna weekly when possible. We're dry brushing, as we remember to, and my husband is pretty diligent about getting on the rebounder. One thing we haven't been doing very well is getting lots of sleep, probably 7 hours instead of 9 or 10. My question is about bowel movements. In the course of the whole month, I have only moved my bowels on my own one time. Now, these colonics we're having are incredible. Tons of black tar, lots of matter, lots of sludge moving out. As I've talked with Maria about this, she's told me not to worry, that a lot of this is that we aren't eating tons of fiber, but that the juice is really cleansing and it's stirring up lots of old waste matter and sludge. Long story short, her question is, why is she not moving on her own now? We've addressed this in from various angles many, many times, but listen to the keys, and this is what's going to make enable you all to become masters, because that's what we're after when you no longer need us, but just like us. but to master this, think about what's being said here. 2 colonics a week. Okay, this is the first time they've embarked upon something like this. They're having one meal a day instead of having whatever they were doing before. It's properly combined, and they're juicing. And they're having the colonics they're having are, quote, incredible. Tons of black tar, lots of batter, lots of sludge moving out. So these colonics are pulling out everything and then some that the body would ever have gotten to on its own. And the question is, why am I not moving on my own? So I think you probably, when you're listening to this, if whoever wrote the question in is going to hear the answer in the question, because the answer is always in the question. But this is something we can all be reminded of. When there's that much matter leaving the body, then the body may not move on its own if this is an unusual event. So if it's the first time somebody's done something like this, and they're moving that much out, don't be surprised if you don't move on your own, because the body's never gotten rid of that much, so it's not going to do that immediately at this stage. One of the ways you know your bowel is really, really strong and you're in great shape, and this can be really, it could be a year or two down the road for deep tissue cleansing, is when you've come off the colonic table and the next morning you get up and you move on your own. Because that indicates that your transit time is swift, your peristalsis is strong, and last night's dinner after the colonic is moving right through you. That's an excellent sign, or whatever was lingering has moved through. So that's something to look out for, but don't expect that early on. Okay, and then let's move on. Just a few more, and we will move on to Joyce. Okay, so you know what? There are three here I was going to do, and I think I'm going to skip them and save them for next time because they're not on the topic of colonics. This one is, though. Okay, the person writes, this, they're going on a vacation without bowel cleansing. They want to know what to eat. So we'll be staying in a houseboat, and there is only one bathroom. I don't dare doing enemas for fear of little kiddos needing to use the restroom and not being able to because Auntie Shannon is doing her thing, nor do I want to become constipated, bloated, or uncomfortable. I don't want to look pregnant when I'm not. I'm pretty thin. My body tends to go into over-cleansing if I'm not careful with the juices, smoothies, and raw foods. Okay, so that's a really great question. So, first of all, it's only a week, so I wouldn't worry about it too much, and especially because knowing this person, I know that their system is you know pretty squeaky clean, and it will probably deal with what she's taking it in very well. One of the things that I want to mention before I speak about the specifics of the dietetics is that one of the things that can really impede the waste from leaving the system is the fear that it won't. So immediately, you know, that can stop an elimination dead in its tracks. Thinking it, overthinking it, on the one hand, imagining it moving through in the morning, for example, first thing, can actually activate your morning movement. But if you're fearful about and you're projecting this fear about not moving, chances are you won't move. So get your mind off of it, and you will. In fact, it's one of the tricks that good colon therapists have. Don't want to give away any secrets, Joyce. To just get their clients talking when they're getting all kind of nervous and wondering if things are moving. Get them on a completely different topic, get them out of their heads, and then suddenly they don't even realize it and they're pouring waste matter. So that's one thing I would say for sure is to avoid worrying about it. And, you know, take the enema kit anyway because there might be a day when the kids are all doing something and nobody's paying any attention to you, and you could probably squeeze it in if you really wanted to, if you really needed to. It's good to have it there. You know, it's probably not something you do at 2 o'clock in the morning, but we get creative with these things. Lord knows I've been very creative. And I know a lot of you out there have been too. You probably put me to shame. So that's one thing. And then in terms of what to eat, the trick is to, if you're coming from the position that this individual is, who's already tissue cleansed to a fair degree, then her body isn't used to, is going to be sensitive to things that are, how do I put this? Let me back up. What this individual would like to, should do is eat a small amount, which is not, basically a systematic under eating. Doesn't mean she starves. Means that compared to the rest of the world, she's eating less. Have less juice, and she's indicated that she thinks that would be a good idea. Less juice only to the extent that you're not going to be bloating up a lot of yesterday's or the day before's food. So if you're not going to the bathroom and you take in a lot of juice, then you will bloat because, remember, that juice is going to hit all that matter and it's going to expand in the system. Have some juice because you're going to want to have some juice, but this isn't the time to do a ton of juice. Now, again, I think this individual is going to move fine on her own on this trip if she isn't worried about it. But if it happens that a couple days go by and nothing moves, then keeping the juice to just the amount necessary to keep the life force feeling nice and strong and leave it at that. Don't overeat your salad. So when I talk about systematic undereating in this case, I mean don't make this the trip where you eat enormous amounts because all of this, all the cellulose – takes up a lot of space and requires a lot of bowel elimination. One of the reasons that we need colonics, especially people who are living this lifestyle, not just because they're awakening so much and it needs to be released, but also because there is so much mulch, there's so much fiber in the salads that we're eating. So when you, if you're eating, you know, two or three salads a day, even one big salad a day, and maybe some steamed vegetables, that's going to create a lot of waste. Remember that the body just extracts the nutrients, the life force, the liquid of the food, and the weight, the rest is discarded. Fiber is useless to the body. After that point, it just goes right into the bowel and it sits there. And that's why you might wonder, how is it possible that I'm having one meal a day and I'm having these enormous colonics? Because there's a lot of fiber in that, and a lot of mulch, cellulose. And you know, think about when you juice your vegetables, what's left in there. There can be a lot of material from just vegetables. So that's one thing. So don't overeat the salads. The water will leave. So the good news is, like, if you wanted to have some steamed vegetables and that filled you up, and having a head of steamed broccoli, or, for example, with your salad, maybe a piece of fish, that will give you a sense of fullness, but that broccoli is a lot of water when it's steamed. So that you'll urinate out, and you won't have to worry about holding a ton of waste, but you'll be nice and filled up. So that's one thing. The other thing is to not go in the direction of fruits and starches, because they will expand in the body. This individual wants to stay nice and contracted. She likes her cute little thin body and wants to feel that way on the houseboat, so she should. And to do that, you want to have foods that are more contracting. So those are going to be the yang foods, the foods like the goat cheese and the fish, eggs would fall into that category. So anything that's going to have more of a contracting effect. And you can, you know, if from there, you should be just fine. I think this individual will have a wonderful trip. Those are the big tips, the things to focus on. That's what I would do if it were me. And she mentions baked beets as well. That can be helpful because baked beets are, they can be expansive in the body, but they usually stimulate great movements. If you know they do that for you, then put them in. But again, I wouldn't overeat on them, because if they don't do the trick, then you could just feel like you've got a lot in your system. But chances are they probably will help. Okay. Hopefully that was helpful. And then that pretty much does it on the questions from the community. I still have questions I want to answer from the community, but we'll do that next time to leave enough time for Joyce. I just want to say a few things about what we call at home on the community, the liberator. I'm going to call it the water filter that we use it at home, our water filtration system. There were some questions about it, and some things that it's erroneous information floating through, some really good information all getting mixed in with that. So just to set the record straight on a few things, one of the big questions is, if it's pressurized, isn't that bad? Well, when it's pressurized, but the pressure in this case, we worked with to make it fine. And I've been using my water filtration system the way I use it, my most creative way, for many years now. I want to say maybe at least 5, maybe 6 years, being exclusively using the home water filtration system. And you'll know if something's not right with your colonics, because your movements won't be good, because you'll feel backed up, because you'll feel reverse pressure, because you won't feel that high. When you're doing things right, it's tangible. You will feel like your system is clear, like your third eye is open. You'll feel the buzzing, you'll feel the chi. This won't be some theoretical, hypothetical concept of cleansing and having a high vibration. You will have that vibration. That's what makes this work so incredibly exciting. It transforms your whole existence. But if you're using something, if I hadn't figured out how to manipulate this unit in order for it to work in harmony with the body, then I would not be having the high that I have. So the way I've used the pressure in a favorable way is to remain standing. You remain standing when you use this water filtration system. When you filter your water, you're going to remain standing, and that offsets the pressure from the sink. And the other thing that's really nice about having the pressure from the sink is that you can manipulate how much you want. And sometimes you want to keep it really, really low because you want to be able to take in water for a certain duration. And then you want to be able by taking it in for duration, it gets it around the scope of the intestine. That's what I do with it. I don't know what anyone else does with it. That's what I do with it. I let it enter, and I hold. I use the tube, the heavy tube, to hold, so the water can go in very, very slowly, staying in for a long time. Like if you were to take an enema and hold the water. Because you're able to get all that enema water around and through. And then it's able to reconstitute quite a bit, and you have a very, very efficient release. So that's one way we manipulate the water pressure. Other times, you feel like there's a lot to release, but it's not really moving through. So by turning the pressure up slightly, never too high. We never, overuse the pressure, of course. That would be foolish. But again, manipulating it to slightly more pressure and pulsing the tube can have a wonderful effect at literally like vacuuming the waste right out when it's feeling a bit stuck. So, and sometimes you do a kind of a combination. Usually, actually, in one treatment, I will do a combination of, many different little tips and tricks that, you use when you're using the pressure. I'll turn the pressure up and down at various times. I'll pulse some of the time. I'll do hold some of the time, just like a colon hydrotherapist would do. So the pressure is actually used in our favor. The other thing that's used in our favor when we have a water filtration system that's attached to our sink is that we can manipulate the temperature. So sometimes we want to have the cooler water. Sometimes we want to have a warmer water. And someone was concerned that that having the double tap would be a problem, but not at all. It's a huge benefit because what you'll do typically for most of the year, what I do, I should say, typically, is a little bit of warm water and a little bit of cold and get a nice temperature to the tap. In the summer, I use the cold tap full on. In the winter, I might use a little bit more warm water. Also, based on how what kind of fermentation or carbonic gas you have in the body, the cold water versus the warm water can have a different effect. And sometimes you have to play with it a bit to figure out what works best for you. But the temperature actually works in our favor in that way. So temperature and pressure work in our favor when we're using it, when it's it's being engaged in that in a knowledgeable way. There was a question about plastic versus metal speculums. The stainless steel and metal is the only speculum I would personally use. If there was some sort of an Armageddon and I couldn't find my metal speculum and there was a plastic one lying around, you can bet your bottom dollar I would use it. But in this case, until that point, I would use the metal speculum. Okay, so the other thing that's good to know about that, about this water filtration system, is that if you know your colon inside out, and by the way, we don't even discuss the opportunity to use a home filtration system unless we know that you've been practicing this work for a long time, that you understand it, that on an emotional and psychological level, you're mature enough to have such a powerful water filter. And all of these things are taken into account, your knowledge of your intestine. And usually we don't even discuss it other than at the advanced training. And that's where you can certainly get more information about it. But knowing where everything is in your colon, where the waste is sitting, you'll be able to know what you can get in a certain amount of time. So you can do mini sessions and clear out the descending colon, the left side, if you just know you have, say, between 5 and 10 or 20 minutes. If you want to give yourself more time and you have, say, an hour, you can filter a lot more water to read between the lines. Okay, so that's that on that. And Amanda, if I'm going on too long, please interrupt me. Okay, using temperature, we did that. All right, I think that's pretty much it. I would say just add that if there's gas coming, if there are gas bubbles coming through from the sink, then that's something you'll have to work out with the plumbing. But it should not be any more difficult to remove gas from within with this device. So let's see. We talked about. Oh, and the other thing that I do is something called Yogalonics. I just call it that because it's sort of mixing my colonic with yoga. The way I massage and tip my body over when I'm doing the standing treatment, I'll just stand on my left leg and lift my right leg up, sort of in if you're familiar with yoga, sort of a warrior three pose, and that allows everything to. It's just that it might be stuck on the right side to move over to the left. And I hope when I said descending, I meant on the left. I think I said left, but in case I said right. So anything that's on in the ascending colon that's been reconstituted and needs to make that curve and get around can do so if I just tilt over, because I make the ascending colon horizontal, and that gets it around the curve. So that works great. Okay, and I suppose that's it on that. And if anyone has any questions regarding that, Amanda, should we open up the floor for them to call in with questions regarding that, or should we jump right into questions with Joyce?
Well, we have a couple minutes until the 30 mark, so maybe we could take one question if anyone has a question for Natalia about any of the topics that she has covered. Go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. And if not, then we can jump into our questions for Joyce. Okay, we have a question, Natalia.
Okay.
Let's see. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Hi. I had a quick question for you. Every time that I eat, especially the raw foods, especially after a colonic, I bloat a lot, a lot. And it seems like no matter what I have or what I do, especially after colonic, that I bloat. And I was just wondering if you had any advice.
Well, it could be a number of things, because remember, we always go back to the body being that human petri dish. So the way I describe it, I'm going to explain this now, hopefully will help everybody listening if this happens to them. You have to figure out what was the petri dish like when the when this raw meal went in, and what is the raw meal that's going in. So assuming you had a very thorough colonic and all the waste leaves, the salad that you eat, the raw meal, if we're assuming also that it's just vegetables and not a lot of these, fussy raw food treats, then like a child, when a child eats, they'll be, a baby, let's say a baby because they're cleaner. When a baby eats, suddenly their stomach does expand a little bit. So there's something going in. And if you have, even if you have a very clean, clear system, there's matter now in your system. So to differentiate between sort of a bloat, which would be an extended system or distended system, I should say, that just feels like you suddenly feel like you're a 40-pound overweight trucker, versus I have something in my system now, and that's something that when people get into cleansing, because you can really start to like that emptiness. When you put something in, you have to become okay with that too. I'm not saying that's what you're experiencing, but that happened with me. I felt like I just didn't understand why I suddenly had to have something in, because I liked it empty. But you have to make friends with the idea that you're going to share your body's real estate with food if you're going to eat food. So there's that. But it shouldn't feel distended, and it shouldn't feel uncomfortable.
No,
the
I
other
feel like
possibility.
Sick.
You feel sick. Okay. The other possibility.
Yeah,
is that something wasn't done thoroughly in the colonic, not necessarily the fault at all of the colon therapist, could be where things were sitting as hard as, they tried to move everything through. There may have been some residual gas pockets, and so when this raw meal, again, assuming it's a clean raw meal, water-containing vegetables, it hits this, then you can have discomfort. You can have the same thing happen if you take in a juice and there's a little gas pressure left in the body. So, if it's happening every time, why don't we leave that question. Joyce, if you can take note of that, and if you have anything to add to it, would love you to do so. In fact, why don't you just jump on in now, and if
sure.
you don't mind. And
no, I don't mind at all.
and take this, and then we'll continue with you. And Aubrey, thank you so much for your question. I'm going to hand it over to Joyce. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Joyce. Thanks for taking the stage.
Sure. Hi. Thank you. It's great to be here today and be of service to your community. Aubrey, it might be require a little bit more time, but I'll do a couple of quick things with you. My curiosity always with people is what was the bowel frequency like before they got into colonics? Was there a history of some health issues for you?
I have a history of constipation really bad.
Yeah.
Digestive issues. I have a tendency to be pretty underweight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you say history of constipation, how infrequently were you moving your bowels before you started getting colon therapy?
Like, I barely ever moved them by myself.
Yeah. So there's kind of your answer. You know, when you listen to Natalia speak, the wisdom is always from within. So one colonic a week has been happening or less than that?
I do one colonic a week. I'm pretty young, so it's really hard to afford them. So
sure, sure.
I do one.
How old? Just so I have a sense of the longevity of the issue, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Yeah. And the constipation has been since in your single-digit years?
Yeah, I had a few good years in between, but...
Okay.
It especially got worse when I started the cleansing process.
Sure. So it seems like, you know, in the grand scope of things, you know, you are a very young individual, which you are, but when you think about 20 years or 19 years of an issue, you start to realize the power of that. So you don't want to undersell the fact that just because you're young, right, we want to look at the fact that this has been an ongoing issue. There are things you can do outside of getting colonics that can help you to start moving your bowels. I would highly recommend starting to do some wheatgrass juice implants. This can be done rectally. That will stimulate the bowel to work and empty the sigmoid on the left side, and it will also start to build a healthy flora in the gut. This is done very easily, and it's very inexpensive to do, and you could do it a few times a week. You go out to the health food store and you buy 2 to 4 ounces of wheatgrass juice. You have them cap it so you can take it home. And you buy a little Fleet enema bottle. You can buy them in the pharmacy. Dump out the stuff that's inside. We don't need that. We just need the bottle. Wipe off the tip of the petroleum that's on there and put a little bit of olive oil on so you can lubricate it. And you put 2 to 4 ounces of the wheatgrass juice in that bottle and you insert it while you're lying down on your left, like you would do an enema, into the rectum. What you try to do is hold it for as long as you can, whether it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes. Grab a book, meditate, put on a great great audio meditation. Maybe you want to just get into your body in that moment and start thinking very positively about moving your bowels and thinking about the goodness that the green is doing intestinally for you. And then when you feel that urge and that need to sit, go right into the toilet, lifting the feet off the floor on a little prayer bench, angling the hips up, right, when we put our feet off the ground. And hopefully the bowels will be stimulated at that point to move. Okay?
Okay.
So you don't have to rely on colonics to heal your body. You can rely on the amazing wisdom and ability that your body has. If we give it the room and the option and the authority to heal itself, it can happen. I would highly recommend also picking up some castor oil. You want to rub that on the gut from the rib cage all the way down to that sort of pubic bone area. And if you can put a hot water bottle on your belly and let that, you know, sit for a good 20 to 40 minutes, even if you have this kind of time, even if it's at night when you're going to go to bed, castor oil is very thick, so you want to make sure you're putting something down on the bed, you're not soiling the sheets. Do it in the morning, at night, you know, whatever times you have to do this. Castor oil seeps into the tissue and it acts as a cathartic. It creates motion in the belly. So you've got an intestine that's kind of been sleeping. We just want to nudge it and wake it up. So these are things you can do that are in your power to wake up the intestine. And it doesn't seem unusual that someone who has a colonic and then eats feels bloated because, you know, the colonic can only get out so much stuff. We're dealing with years of stuff. So what we want to do is focus on getting the bowels to be more active in between these treatments. We don't want to rely and just, you know, feel like that's your salvation. Because the second your bowels start to really wake up in between these treatments, when you start eating after colonic, you're going to start feeling the movement of that in the intestine instead of it feeling like it's just, you know, expanded in the gut and you feeling like, great, now I'm kind of back to square one.
Okay. Do you have any, like, dietary recommendations for, like, after colonic, like, kind of the best thing to eat? Like if you have this
problem? I wouldn't be doing 100% raw. I would be doing some of what Natalia has recommended earlier, you know, smaller salads maybe, and some of those root veggies. If you're not vegan, you can certainly use some of the lean proteins, and you can even use, you know, goat's cheese. But I would definitely be not doing 100% raw for where you're at now. I would definitely be doing like yams, Japanese yams, kabocha squash, some of these earthier, more grounding root veggies, you know, quinoa, kasha, millet, those kinds of things, unless you have something adverse to them. Toasted whole grain breads, you know, so that the starches are dextrinized and they're going to not be as mucus forming in the tissue. Those kinds of things can help. I would also be doing a lot of aloe. You can buy aloe leaves for like $1.50 in the market. You sort of fillet it open, scoop open the inside, put it in a blender with some water and drink it like it's medicine. It might not be the most palatable thing, but aloe is a universal healing agent. It will soothe the tissue and it will help to rejuvenate cells and it will act as a natural lubricant in the intestine, very calming in the intestine. So those things are definitely, you know, suggestions I make to clients as well as what I would certainly suggest for you. Even things like okra are great foods to be eating because they're very slippery, and, you know, before a woman's going to give birth, it's highly recommended she eat okra to keep the vaginal canal very lubricated. It will also help the bowels to move.
Okay, like steamed okra or raw?
Oh, no, not raw. Cook it. Yeah, cook it up.
Okay.
Yeah, cook you it can up flavor like it when it's done. You could steam it, and you could flavor it after with olive oil and sea salt and onion powder, garlic powder, little bags, liquid aminos, that kind of thing.
Okay. I'm just going to ask two more questions, and then I promise I'll let you go. One, you can't have, like, I can have, like, a whole leaf of aloe a day, right?
Oh, yeah. That's not overdoing it. It will not cause any problems. A whole leaf a day is fine. You can do half in the morning, half at night.
Okay, and then last question. Wheatgrass is really expensive where I live. So even if I could only do it, like, maybe once every 3 weeks. I mean, it's really expensive. I live in Texas.
How? Like, an ounce is usually about $3.
Yeah. Okay. I can try and do it like every other week.
Yeah.
But would that be okay? Would that still be a kind of effect?
Yeah. I mean, can you get any help from someone? I mean, even if you did it once a week, that would be like $6. A week?
Okay, I can probably
Can you work that in maybe somehow?
Yeah, once a week.
We want to activate the bowels. Some places sell it frozen in the market, so look in your frozen section of the market. They might have it more economically there. Maybe you can strike a deal with the guy who owns a health food shop, you know, tell him you're having some health crisis and ask him if he can give you a break if you buy a quantity at a time. Even if you bought a bunch at a time and froze some and then defrosted it when you needed it, maybe he'll give you a break. Be creative.
Oh, okay, and the frozen works good, too, because that one might be pretty
efficient. Yes.
Okay.
No, it'll work fine. Just make sure if you're buying it fresh from him, you freeze it immediately when you get home, defrost it before you use it so it's room temp.
Okay, thank you. I'll let you go.
Okay, love. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was great, Joyce. You really packed a lot. I mean, I think there's just so much information in there with the castor oil and the wheatgrass and the whole thing. It's fantastic.
Totally. Right. I'm having flashbacks to the hours that I spent on the table with you, Joyce. It's so nice to have you on this call.
It's a dream come true.
Yes, it is.
I think I'm having flashbacks, too.
Yeah. Girl, you've come a long way.
Okay, so we have a lot of questions that we took from the community, but I also want to encourage anyone that's on the phone right now, if you do have questions for Joyce, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, or you can enter a question into the participant dashboard. And the link for the participant dashboard is in the email that was sent to you with the phone number. So you can just click on that link, and then you can type in a question if you have one. But I'm going to go to Jennifer. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi, Joyce. I actually just came back from Helen Woods down in Florida, And I'm wondering if you might have any other good book recommendations for somebody who's really interested in doing this and doing hydrotherapy.
Sure. You are looking to become a colon hydrotherapist?
Yes.
To practice? Open up a practice?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Welcome. My favorite book is an early one from Dr. Norman Walker, and it's called Become Younger.
Love
and
that book.
Many. Yeah, you have that one already? Because she gave it to you a bunch when you're down there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any of his books are wonderful. In terms of colon health, I mean, he's kind of the granddaddy. Were you asking about other related topics or specifically colonics?
If you have something really great for another related topic, I would be happy to learn more and absorb any information possible.
Sure. There's another book called Natural Healing by Dr. Jack Sultanoff.
Great.
I think any of Professor Arnold Ehret's books are fabulous. He's even older than Walker, and he is Professor Arnold Ehret, E-H-R-E-T. And he, you know, is the man who comprehended the concept of the mucosal diet healing system.
Mm-hmm.
And so his stuff's really old. He's like late 1860s. And his work's a lot of fun to read, you know, because it's a little antiquated. But he's another amazing person to certainly know about. So the mucosal diet healing system is Dr. Norman Walker, Professor Arnold Ehret, excuse me. So any of his stuff will be very eye-opening for you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I'll be in advanced training as well in 3 weeks. Very excited.
Oh,
we can't wait to see you.
Great. You're welcome.
Okay. Let's take one of the questions that we pulled from the community. Okay, Joyce, if I'm going to the bathroom regularly, do I need to get colonics?
One of my favorite questions. So, yes. Let's say yes first, because that is the answer, and then we'll go into a long explanation. Let's say this. The human body is at 98-plus degrees. It is a cooking oven, and it is not a self-cleaning oven, is the way I like to say it. We all brush our teeth. We all swab our ears. We all soap up our skin. We wash our face and eyes when we wake up in the morning. We do all these things to maintain these interesting orifices that we have. And if the bowels are moving three times a day, that is an awesome, glorious thing. Say hallelujah. But it doesn't mean that you can't experience some higher levels of well-being and increase your longevity on the planet by administering colonics or including colonics into your protocol. I'm a perfect example of that because I was having excellent activity when I got into this work. I didn't get into this work as a client because I was having a sluggish system. I was actually just quite curious about it. And so the point is that there's always more. And the reason is because we've all eaten things for the most part. I do meet a few people here and there that were raised quite clean and vegetarian or even vegan, but we all have eaten things that weren't really intended for human consumption in the first place. And even if the bowels are moving two or three or four times a day, there's still residue from things that don't leave on their own. And that's always the fun part of doing this work is clients will sometimes come in and they've been coming for a while and they'll say, you know, I don't know. They're coming in for, you know, a 9 a.m. appointment and they've had a bowel movement or even two already before 9 a.m. And they're like, I don't think I got anything left for you. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Sure you do. And lo and behold, they have this huge treatment. They get off the table feeling astronomically amazing, more so than they did walking in, and they didn't even feel bad walking in. They felt great walking in, but now they've reached another height that they didn't even know was possible. So the answer is yes, and the answer is because the body is not a self-cleaning organism. As many people think it is out there, other communities of thought do believe it is, but I've seen enough colonics, thousands of them, to know that even when someone is juice fasting for 90-plus days straight and taking only liquids in, there is a significant capacity in the human system to hold on to matter that it doesn't need. So I hope that answers that question.
Definitely. Thank you. Okay, let's see. How long should treatments last?
It depends on the individual. I always say, you know, the human body is kind of like a snowflake. Everyone who walks in has something unique going on and needs to be treated individually. So you really need to open up your heart center and your intuition center when you're doing this work and connect with the person you're working with. It's a very profound, constant learning process. Even for me, I've been doing this work for 15 years. I've seen colonics last 25 minutes. And I've seen colonics last an hour and 50 minutes. Sometimes people's treatments are short because their body is not in a place to have loosened up more matter. Maybe there's emotional things going on with the individual that are prohibiting them from feeling comfortable and letting go of more. And the colonics that go really long, hopefully there's not a lot of those going on out there. But, you know, because it can be exhausting for the person administering them. But typically treatments last between 45 and 60 minutes for the most part. The treatments that last very long, sometimes it's because people are going through a healing crisis and they don't typically last that long forever. It might be a period of time. Maybe they have 2 or 3 treatments or 4 months worth of treatments if they're coming in, you know, 2 to 4 times a month, where their body is just radically dumping poisons like you can't believe. So that's not unusual. But typically treatments last about 45 to 60 minutes for the most part.
Okay, great. And what things are important to consider when determining the best frequency of treatments for a person?
Another great snowflake example. So very individualized. Some people will know when it's time to come back based on a bunch of factors, you know, and that's part of the beauty of the work is to help people become masters of their own detox process. And when people first come in, that's always the question, when should I come back? Or how often do people do these things? How frequently do people get these things? So in the beginning, I usually tell people if they have, again, it's very individualized. If they've got a very sluggish bowel and they came in and have a huge session, and they don't feel a big shift, it's a sign to me that there's that much more going on in the body. If they can release, you know, the equivalent of 8 to 10 movements in 45 minutes and get off the table and not feel anything different, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out that there's a lot more going on in the system that needs to exit in order for them to feel that lightness of being. That's the kind of person I tell, you probably want to come back in 7 to 10 days. Don't wait more than 3 weeks. If people are really locked into the work and they start to connect with their bodies, they'll know when it's time to come back because, I'm eating really well, but why am I not feeling really well? If you ask yourself, you know, that question and you get this answer of maybe it's time for another colonic, you're dead on. Because now the body has gotten to a place where even if the bowels are working well, where it's looking for a little extra help. So that's typically what I tell people. If you start eating really well and you're not feeling phenomenal, it's a sign that the bowels are not keeping up. The management, the internal management is requiring a little bit of external assistance.
Okay, great. All right.
And also, just to jump in, sorry to break up there, sometimes you'll start to get symptoms. You'll start to get a headache. You'll start to get a stuffy nose. You'll start to get eczema popping up that you had that was once clear, pimples. These kinds of things are signs that your body is calling out to you to take care of it a little bit deeper.
Okay, great. Thank you. And you answered this one a little bit before, but this is a more general context. What should I eat the day before, the day of, and day after a treatment? I want to be sure to maximize the benefits. Any other tips for preparing for a colonic?
Sure. Juice, 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 juice. The first thing I did, J-U-I-C-E, the first thing that I did after my very first colonic, I was 23, I went home, I threw out 3 brand new bottles of vitamins that for me at the time were extremely, you know, pricey to have invested in the first place. I threw them out and I borrowed the keys to the car, ran to Macy's and bought myself a $40 juicer. And that's what changed my life. So the day, and again, it's not necessarily the day before the treatment. We want to consider our colonic therapy kind of like the end of term exam, if you're, say, in school, you don't wait till that day before your exam to cram everything and study, because it just leaves too much burden and too much, you know, wing and a prayer kind of mentality. It's more of a lifestyle picture. You want to take a bird's eye view of this and know that it's not about the perfection that you have during the week, but it's about the process of elevating what you were doing before to something better. So if I meet someone and they're brand new to this lifestyle and I can get them juicing one day a week, that's awesome. So again, it's very individualized. So whatever you're doing now, elevate it just a little bit. If you're juicing just on the weekends and you're going to get a colonic, maybe you want to juice two or three more times during the week. Maybe you're not used to eating salads all the time before your cooked food. Make that your new little ritual. If you're not following the food combining, start following some food combining. Leave the evening meal to be indulgent. Of course, the day before a colonic, we don't want to be very indulgent. We want to be as on point as we can for who we are and where we are in the cycle and the process of this work. So definitely be doing juices on an empty stomach. Ideally is first, you know, ideal time is first thing in the morning. If you're the kind of person who wakes up and just works on electrical energy and you can have lemon water and just have a juice at lunch, fine. Go with that. Everyone's going to be in a different place with this process. I would definitely say, you know, take out coffee, take out soda, take out dairy, take out beans. You know, these are some things that you can definitely do no matter where you are in the scope of, you know, your lifestyle. Beans are very gassy. Obviously, carbonated beverages, very gassy. Dairy is very gassy and congesting. And those are some very good things to be mindful of day before the treatment.
Okay.
Day of the treatment, depending on what time your session is, if you're having a morning session, you probably don't want to eat in the morning at all. You want to probably not eat about 3 hours before any treatment. And if you can, if you're having an evening treatment, you know, eat as light as you can, because you'll get off that table feeling the most beautiful sense of lightness of being, and then you'll have a beautiful sleep, get up the next morning and realize, wow, this is a gig, and I'm really shifting here, and my body feels so empowered in the absence of so much food. The day after the treatment, no alcohol is definitely a big thing day before, day of, and day after a colonic. We really want to move away from alcohol. It's very, very gassy in the body, and it makes getting off the table in a state of lightness a very difficult task. So day before, day of, day after colonic, move away from alcohol, and really watch your food combining the day after a colonic. Your body is very keen and very smart after a colonic, and it will start to recognize poor combinations and poisonous food substances much more readily when it's a little cleaner. So it will respond a lot differently after the treatment than it did before, and the things that you used to be able to do, your body's going to start to let you know what, that's not really your best choice. So we want to be mindful of food combining specifically and the alcohol.
And is the reason for not eating or keeping it as light as possible before the colonic, can you explain why you want to do that?
Why you want to eat as light as possible is what the
question is? Yeah, and not 3 hours before.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a colonic session, when you're getting colon hydrotherapy, you're lying down, you're reclined. So nobody really wants to be lying down, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 hours after they've eaten, because it hampers the digestive process. Now, look, if someone hasn't eaten all day and they're starting to feel woozy and they have an apple an hour before the colonic, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. The idea is that the stomach shouldn't be doing a lot of work while you're getting the treatment, and that you want to give your digestive system the opportunity to be as open and unencumbered by other activity while the colon is doing its work. And it just opens up the system and allows it to function that much better when there's not a lot of other activity going on. You know, we've had people come in for the first time and they totally forgotten they ate, you know, a crazy lunch because they had a corporate meeting or something, and their treatments were fine. But the point is, as you progress into this work, you're gonna intuitively know that that's not the way to go, and your body's not even going to want to eat heavily before the session. But, yeah, you want to be as light as possible coming in, because you're going to be reclined. You don't want to give the stomach a lot of work to do while the intestine is working. And you want to get a true sense of what the body's, you want to get a sense of what the body's utter essence is and a true value of energy is in the absence of food going in. And know that we're electrical beings and that we function more on the cleanliness of our cells than we do on the food going in. Oxygen is much more important to us than food. If you're not sure, hold your breath. See how long you can go with holding your breath versus not eating a meal. We know the answer. Okay.
Awesome. Okay, good. We have some questions from our audience. Jackie, I am going to go to you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. Hi, Joyce and Natalia and whoever else is online. Joyce, it takes me anywhere from a half hour to an hour and a half to move my bowels in the morning. Okay, wait, I wrote this down. Let me get to the... Okay. I started getting colonics in August, okay? I've had 8 since then. After I get a colonic, it takes me maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes the most to move my bowels for about a week, week and a half, okay? But this sitting there in the morning so long makes me very nervous. It takes up so much time and ruins my morning. Do you think it would be okay or better for me to give myself an enema every night or in the morning instead? It would be so much quicker. Now, since I've been on Natalia's food plan, which I love, and I've had 2 colonics. This is in the past 3 weeks. I've had 2 colonics in the past week, actually, with 2 different colon therapists. Each one said that I was releasing a tremendous amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I was releasing very well. Now, before I was on Natalia's food plan, I was basically half raw, half macrobiotic, and before that, fully macrobiotic for at least a year. It was I wasn't releasing so well. Now, my question to you is about the enema, and I bought a Kalima board, but I haven't used it yet. Do you think?
Okay.
Do you think I should use? Okay.
Yeah, Jackie, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
68.
Bless you for getting into this.
Don't look it, but I am.
Good. Okay. Well, let's look at the improvement first. It used to take a half hour to an hour and a half to move your bowels. Now it takes 20 minutes. That's a big improvement. Don't disregard
that.
Only
for a week or a week and a half after a colonic. After that, I'm back to the half hour, hour and a half sitting there every morning.
When did it start getting really sluggish? Like, when did it start taking a half an hour plus to move your bowels? How long ago?
Has
it been like that for your life?
Many years. About 30, 40 years.
Okay. So, again, we have some long history here of the body just being a little sleepy. There's a couple things. The wheatgrass juice implants I highly recommend for you as well. That's stuff that I recommended a little earlier on in the call. Wheatgrass juice implants. So instead of necessarily doing a full-blown enema, you could put 2 to 4 or even 6 ounces of wheatgrass juice into the rectum and start to activate the sigmoid and start building, reestablishing the healthy flora in the intestine that way. That might help you.
A couple of times a week, or how often?
You could do that. It's not a problem to do that, you know, every day because it's just a small amount of liquid.
It's not a problem to do that every day. Morning.
In the morning when you're inclined to move your bowels. Now, that might be not cost efficient, but, you know, even if you're doing it 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would highly recommend is you got to buy some aloe.
I don't know where to buy aloe leaves. I've been buying the raw aloe in the,
you look around. Most food markets carry it, you know, and ask around. There's also another product I would recommend for you. If you go on to sunfood.com, there's a product they sell called Sun is Shining, and it's a green superfood. I like that product a lot. It's very clean, and it's very medicinal, and it's going to help start reestablishing the probiotics in the gut. And it wouldn't hurt to be taking, like, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. O'Hara.
Okay. O-H-E-A-R-A?
It's got an unusual spelling. And it's actually O-H-H-I-R-A. It's a great probiotic because it does not need to be refrigerated. It comes in pill form. And what you could do is you could just bite the little capsule and suck out the inside. It's very sort of salty and flavorful and tastes good. And you could just take that. okay. in the morning when you're doing your breakfast. I would also be doing the castor oil on the gut. Castor oil on the gut. Got to move the intestine. You got to create catharsis in there, cathartic motion in the belly. Really important. And you're juicing, yes?
Yes.
Okay,
now, should I do the castor? Just 8 or 16 per day.
Okay, well, 16 is where I would be. Up it.
Okay.
Make that your new bar. And I'd be doing, like, you know, some carrots are okay with a lot of greens, romaine lettuce, cucumber, that kind of thing.
Okay. Should I do the castor oil every day with the hot water bottle?
If you can, absolutely. You could do it at night when you lay down to sleep. That's a great time to do it.
Okay.
Can't OD on the castor oil. It's just going on the skin.
Okay. Now, if that doesn't help, should I do the enema every day?
The wheatgrass juice implants are probably going to be very helpful. Let's think positively. Remember how Natalia was speaking about so shall you think, so shall you be kind of thing? So let's think positively, and then, you know, you have your colon therapist you can bounce off of as well. But I think that the wheatgrass juice implants are going to be very helpful for you. And I think keeping the juice at at least 16 ounces a day will be helpful to you.
Great. One last question, Joanne. What do you think of Kalima boards?
No, that's great. It's kind of like a glorified enema. So it goes like enema, Kalima board, colon therapy.
Okay.
And you could. How often are you seeing your colon therapist? Like once a month?
I was doing it sporadically. I did, you know, two in a week. But I would say I was going once, twice a month. Is that enough?
Yeah, maybe you want to be consistent with it. Maybe you want to do twice a month and see what kind of results that brings you. Or if you can only afford to go once a month, you might want to get on the Kalima board, you know, every 10 days or something, if the wheatgrass juice implants aren't giving you the good results you'd like. But aloe, castor oil, wheatgrass juice implants, I think you got a little good camp of high potential going on there.
And should I have the whole aloe leaf?
You can do the whole leaf, yeah, if you can handle it. It's not the tastiest stuff, but if you can handle it. You can add a little stevia, liquid stevia to it if you want to sweeten it a hair. But you could do half a leaf in the morning and half a leaf before you go to bed at night.
Oh, thank you so much for all your help. I really appreciate it.
Don't forget your food combining. It's magic. Food combining is the magic wand everyone's looking for on those infomercials at night. So it's right at your fingertips. You got it already.
Yeah, no, I'm doing the food combining.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you so much again.
You're welcome, Joyce. Joyce. Good luck.
Joyce, we have one more question. Do you have time to take one more, or do you need to run?
Sure. No,
okay,
I'm good.
Okay. Azure, go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, it was a little late to the call, so if you've addressed this, you can tell me to listen back. But I was wondering if you could give any encouragement in relation to infertility and colonics.
Sure, I definitely can. Was your name Desiree or Azure?
It's Azure.
Okay, great to meet you. Yes, any stagnancy in the body that is showing up in either, in this case, fertility or with breathing, as in asthma or anything like that, I've seen amazing results with cleansing the bowel. I worked with a woman many years ago who came in to our office, and she was about 32 at the time. Her father was actually a specialist OBGYN, and she had never had her period. And she had chronic diarrhea her whole life, and she was married and wanted to have a child with her husband, and started getting colonics and was really into the lifestyle. It became like skin for her. It was very easy. She believed in it. It was feeling good. She was getting great results. She was having colonics about every 2 weeks, sometimes every 10 days, sometimes once a week, if she could sneak in a little earlier. After 4 months, she got her period, which was actually a shock to all of us. We expected it would take 6 months or longer. And I've also seen women get their period after one colonic, which is very rare, but I've seen it happen. I've worked with people who it took a little longer, a year and 4 months, if they've had irregular cycles. But any obstruction in the body that is dealing, any obstruction in the bowel that is cleared, I find, has amazing results for women, not only with fertility, but with troublesome menstrual cycles. It's one of my favorite things to see change with, because it's so troubling with women. So, and I do, I actually have another client who came in and was having a hard time getting pregnant and was getting very sporadic periods. She has two children now and her period comes regularly. So just know that, you know, the uterus and the colon are kind of married there in our gut. They're very close. They share space. And if the colon is very impacted and it is bloated and it is distended and it is prolapsed, it will, you know, press into the other organs around us, whether it's, you know, our kidneys or our ovaries or our uterus, and it can cause problems. And that's the reason why a lot of women, when their period comes, they get really bloated, they get very hormonal, they get moody, they get gassy, they get very crampy. Some people are, you know, flat out. So when the colon is unencumbered, everything sits better and properly and more organically by natural law in the system, and it allows everything to function the way it's intended. And so with fertility, I've seen tremendous success with women who embrace the juicing and food combining and colonics, and meditation cannot be ignored. Really important to bring that in.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Joyce, thank you so much. I actually had someone wrote in and said, please say thank you to her. She is great and very clear. And then I actually, one other person wanted you to, if you can repeat the name of the product from Sun Food. What was it?
Yes. Yes. It's actually called, what is it called? It's called Sun Is Shining.
Sun is
and it's on sun, yes, sunfood.com.
Okay. And we actually have other people with their hands raised, but we'll let you go. But maybe we could do this again sometime, Joyce.
We can. We can. Yeah, if you're running out of time with the allotted time, you can. Otherwise, I'm happy to answer another question or two if you have that option.
Ah, okay. We do have that option. So if people can stay on, yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Another question here from Sam. Sam, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, hi. I've asked this before, but I just wanted to take the chance to, because I'm online with you. I am in Michigan, and I have no access to, in my area, there's no access to gravity colonics. And
My eyes are crying.
I know. The closest that I have found through online research, but I'm always looking, is in Chicago, which is quite a ways away, like 4 to 5 hours away, so that's not always the easiest for me to get to. And first of all, I'm so thankful for the wheatgrass implants and the aloe and all of your wisdom. But if you could give anything else, I'm my ears and my heart is open.
Yeah. Can you afford to buy a Kalima board? It's certainly a tremendous.
I've actually never heard of that before, and I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. Okay. So a Kalima board is like a long plastic board, and they actually sell them even foldable. I've seen them foldable. It's a long plastic board with a hole in the middle, and you actually put it on top of your toilet seat, and the other end is something you would support with like a little chair. And you would lie down on that to kind of administer, it's kind of like a glorified enema. It's more efficient than an enema, but little less efficient perhaps than a colonic. There's a bucket, probably like a 3 to 5 gallon bucket, that you would put water in, and you would rest it on top of your toilet tank, and from that bucket leaves a thin, narrow rubber tube. And then attached to the end of that would be like a plastic sort of thin rectal insert that you could feed the water from the bucket to your body with. So you're putting the bucket on top of the tank of the toilet so that you have a little bit of height and gravity motion.
Okay.
And then you're lying down on this board, and there's sort of like a hood that comes up so that when you're lying on the board and you've got your knees bent, the hood kind of protects any waste that's eliminating from your body from kind of going, you know, splashing around. The waste leaves your body, and it kind of drops, you know, a little bit onto the board and then into the belly of the toilet.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a way to take care of yourself. Where there's a will, there's a way. Someone created Kalima board. You can probably go onto, like, Matt Monarch's website. You can find them. I don't know if Natalia sells them on hers, but please check hers first if she does, if you can. And David Wolf might even sell them on his website. But yeah, Natalia might have them on hers, and if not, check the others. But you certainly can do fine with that, and you don't need to be a therapist to self-administer. You'll let the water flow in, and the second you start feeling full, you literally are pressing, you know, you're pushing out as though you are sitting erect on the toilet, but you're lying down. You'd just be pressing out. Water flow kind of stops into your body naturally when you're eliminating. And then once you feel the elimination, then the water will flow back in, and you can lay there on your back and you can massage your gut, massaging from right to left, right corner by the pelvic bone, going up kind of like an upside down letter U, going up the right side towards the right rib cage, across the body to the left rib cage, and then down towards the left pelvic bone, and then again towards like the middle of your body where the rectum, the sigmoid meets the rectum. You can get great results that way, girlfriend.
Thank you so much. I've never heard of that before, so I'm very grateful for that information. Thank you.
And you will hunt your Kalima board when you buy it.
Yeah, I will be singing praises, I'm sure.
Yes. Light some candles, light some incense. You'll be rocking and rolling in no time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joy.
If you ever come to New York, you can just look us up and we're here.
Yes, I was actually going to say that to anyone who's going to be joining the advanced detox course that's maybe coming from out of town, make sure that you book your session at Light now, because I know that they get really busy with all of the training participants. So, and everyone that works there is amazing, obviously Joyce included. And then if you are in New York, make sure that you visit Light, because they really are amazing. And I didn't want to go anywhere else when I lived in New York. So, Joyce, thank you so much for your time, and thank you everybody for listening, for all your great questions. And we will have this available as a recording. And Joyce, you guys can use this too as a recording. And
beautiful.
We'll email
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an honor to be with you guys, and a lot of fun. Thanks everyone for your questions and allowing me to entertain you.
Yay. Thank you, Joyce.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Take care, everyone.